What it says is gold is no longer going to go mealy-mouth sideways versus the S&P, meaning just as good. It's blowing out of the 11-year wide base. Now,
that's exciting. Go ahead.
If I dropped this chart in front of you and didn't have a label on it and just said, this is stock ABC, what would you say? You'd say, hey, I got to buy that guy.
It just broke out.
Yeah. Okay. That means it just began. Okay. This is what just began. Everybody's thinking about gold is so old. It's overbought, silver, et cetera, et cetera. It just began, folks. So it reflects the miners, and you'll notice going back to 2014 or so, you had a downtrend line. You hit 1, 2, 3, 4 times, including back, several months ago, you hit it and backed off, and then you blew through it last month.
Okay? Yeah.
But again, here it's echoing what gold says. Gold's beating the S&P, just broke out of a massive base. The miners say, hey, me too. Okay. Now, and then one below that is silver.
Yeah, let's talk about silver. It's been just ripping here.
This is last month's close now. We're higher than that now, by the way. Okay. But S&P versus silver versus S&P, again, in the bear trend from 2011 to 15, silver went down, relative performance went down. But as you can see, either side of about, what is that level, 6.5%, 6/10% price of silver expressed as a percent of the S&P. It went sideways basically since 2018, really.
Right.
Yeah, there's a downtrend structure though. And when you broke through that last month, big time, and you're further up now, it says the same thing gold says versus S&P. Okay, so it's a chorus. It's not just gold, it's the gold silver miners. It's silver all saying, hey, thumbs down on the stock market. And it's just broken out.
Michael Oliver, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Doing great, Andy.
Great. Just real quick to all my viewers and listeners, we're going to go through some of Michael's charts that he has on his updates that he sends out to all of his subscribers. There's some really important charts here that we not a whole lot of people are looking at or discuss, and I want Michael to go more in depth with that. So let me know. Let's just hop into it. Michael, Your most recent one, if you see my, do you see the chart that I just pulled up?
Yeah.
Okay. The most recent one that I have, or your most recent newsletter, this was on November 30th, just last week. You talked about the golden S&P monthly, the spread, if you would. Talk about that and why that's so important and just take me through.
Well, it's a relative performance chart going back to when gold really was collapsing in 2013. It was also collapsing in relative performance to the S&P. And it's reflected on the spread. You were going from 85% and by late 2015, you dropped just above 50. That's when the price of gold actually ended then. It was $1,050. But you'll notice if you back to that 2015 low, which is like the end of the first drop, just above 50%, you could draw a line sideways from there if you wanted to. And for the last decade, gold has been either side of that level. But what does that mean? It means gold has been performing just as well as the S&P for the past decade. Okay. If it's around 50%, then that's where it was in 2015, meaning it's held its value versus S&P. It's been weaker than that, and it's been stronger than that. Now, during that 2014 here, where that green line commences, you could draw a line across 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 highs there, and we punched out above it at the close of last month. Okay, so what? Okay, what it says is gold is no longer going to go mealy-mouthed sideways versus the S&P, meaning just as good. It's blowing out of the 11-year wide base. Now,
that's exciting. Go ahead.
If I dropped this chart in front of you and didn't have a label on it and just said, this is stock ABC, what would you say? You'd say, hey, I got to buy that guy.
It just broke out.
Yeah. Okay. That means it just began. Okay. This is what just began. Everybody's thinking about gold is so old. It's overbought, silver, et cetera, et cetera. It just began, folks. The relative asset class shift out of the paper U.S. stock market bubble has only just begun to move heartily into gold. Yeah, since 2024, that last low, gold's been advancing nicely, but within that basing range. So this is a new game. That's what it tells you. It says, wake up. This is not an old trend in gold. This is brand new. The money flow is just beginning. Okay. So it's a table pounder.
Yeah, let me interrupt you here. And you said a keyword, money flow. I was going to ask you about money flow and about this chart. I wanted you to answer, but you already answered it. Talk a little bit more about money flow, why that is important in this breakout, if you
Well,
would.
you know, whenever the stock market has had a bear over the last 25, 30 years, or going back 50 years, in fact, remember the 73, 74 bear in the stock market was a huge collapse. During that same time, gold was going from 30 bucks to 200. Okay. So, you know, opposites. Then you go to the dot-com top to the 2002 low. 82% collapse in NASDAQ, 150% in the S&P, yet gold was rising during that time. In fact, kept going for another till 2011. Then the 2007 top, mortgage top for the stock market. Didn't really pick up steam till 8, but between 2007 and 2009, the S&P got cut in half. And gold was rising. Yeah, there were jiggles in there, big ones sometimes, but basically in a major uptrend. So the money goes somewhere when it leaves the stock market. Now, where does it go? Well, we all know, well, it was either Chase or one of the big banks anyway, Morgan Stanley maybe, made a statement about the 60-40 rule. You know, 60% stocks, 40% T-bonds. Okay, that's the good, stable portfolio. Okay. Well, admittedly, during the 2000, 2002 bear in the stock market, 2007 to 9, if you owned T-bonds, they went up, yields went down. Okay. So it was an alternative to some extent. Gold was a better alternative, but you know, T-bonds and gold were competing as places to be other than the stock market. Now, that ain't the case, guys. You got the T-bonds right now starting to break some things that if you drop about another 4 points in T-bond futures, right now they're 115 and a half. You get down about 111 and a half, you're going to have a panic in the government T-bond market that even the Fed is going to have to step into. And they've already hinted they might be doing that soon, buying T-bonds. That's not an alternative. So if you're getting out of the stock market, you know, like one of the big banks just said, hey, it's better now to have a 60-20-20. Okay. Now, my argument would be, how about 60% gold? Okay. Anyway, but it's at least it's a realization on the part of big bank, part of the Fed system, you know, that, you know, has gold really, you know, I guess we got to admit, you know, otherwise we look like fools. This chart says, watch out. It's going to dominate the when the flow comes out of the paper bubble, it's going to go here because T-bonds aren't acting well, and it looks like they're going to cause some pain and maybe even some headlines for the stock market of the negative kind, you know. All right, anyway.
So anyway, so people are tuning in to listen to you, not listen to me, so I want to keep this brief. But to all my viewers and listeners here, Michael is a trader and is currently trading and traded a lot in a previous life before this. And he just brought up something huge that a lot of people get, especially novice traders don't get, or novice investors don't get, is just the idea of money flow. When assets going down, it's typically reallocated to another asset that's breaking out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael. And that's what we're seeing right here. It also goes with our thesis, or Michael's thesis. Now he's sharing that thesis that gold is going to continue to go up. If you would, I believe it was Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs that came out. It was literally 2 to 3 months ago to have a higher 20% allocation, or 15 and 20% allocation to gold. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michael.
I don't know. I didn't listen to the details of what they say. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, usually it's crap, but
Yeah.
that being said, yeah, they came out with
Due
this thing that,
respect.
yeah, hey, with all due respect, with portfolio management. So it really fits really nicely into your thesis, Michael. Again, let's get you here. We're talking about the miners here
Yeah.
and
Yeah. The
silver and
top
the
chart.
S&P.
Yeah. The top chart's XAU index, which has been around since the 1980s. Gold and silver miners. Okay. Philadelphia index. So it reflects the miners, and you'll notice going back to 2014 or so, well, you had a downtrend line, you hit one, two, three, four times, including back, several months ago, you hit it and backed off, and then you blew through it last month.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, here, it's echoing what gold says. Gold's beating the S&P, just broke out of a massive base. The miners say, hey, me too. Okay. Now, and then one below that is silver.
Yeah, let's talk about silver. It's been just ripping here.
This is
Talk about
last
that
month's
S&P.
close now. We're higher than that now, by the way. Okay. But S&P versus silver, silver versus S&P, again, in the bear trend from 2011 to 15, silver went down, relative performance went down. But as you can see, either side of about, what is that level, 6.5, 6 tenths of a percent, price of silver expressed as a percent of the S&P. It went sideways basically since 2018, really.
Right.
No,
Yep.
there's a downtrend structure though. And when you broke through that last month, big time, and you're further up now, it says the same thing gold says versus S&P. Okay, so it's a chorus. It's not just gold, it's the gold silver miners, it's silver all saying, hey, thumbs down on the stock market. And it's just broken out. You don't break out like this and have a 3 month rally.
Yeah.
This is something that involves years, a couple of years at least. So the asset shift has, the earthquake has occurred, guys, but nobody's noticing it. All they're noticing is what RSI says on a weekly,
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's
Yeah.
where we are. That's where we are.
Well, and to share that, I want to just give you a huge kudos here. Michael's been pounding the table every single time I've had him on, really, in the past year, but actually just recently he talked about how he's just going to go and go really quick. And that's exactly what we happened. I would like to ask you, I am, and again, this is my short-term hat. If you would, I see silver as I'm looking at RSI extremely overbought here. Comment about that if you would.
Okay.
But I am looking to reallocate because I took some money off the table, but I am looking to reallocate if there is a pullback. Do you see anything
Our
shorter term?
assessment, no. Our assessment is that one, just like these charts have just broken out, and these charts don't break out and then sputter. These bases are too clear, too wide. It's not like I'm drawing a little 2-point trend line, subjectively. This is like 4 or 5 points spanning 11 years, and they all did it at once. So it's affirming, affirming, affirming. Something's going on here. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, most of the American public is not participating. We know that.
Right.
They're very sub-level in terms of gold participation or monetary metals. That's going to wake up, especially when the stock market turns down in a way that hurts them. They notice. We argue technically that the stock market has been in a topping process since late last year, early this year. At that point, early this year, for example, S&P was just below 42, 6,200. Okay, so you drop, we got about 10% out above that high recently, and we're just sputtering up here for 3 months now, spinning wheels. Our work on the S&P says this is virtually similar or the same as the 2000.com, 2007 top. It was complex. It didn't just occur and then collapse. It was laborious. And in fact, each time they teased you with a new high after MSA declared, get out of this market. Several months later, in both cases, it went up and made a new high, just enough so CNBC could report a new high. And you could hear the cheering. It was a trap. Okay. Also, they're expecting what right now? Oh, the Fed's going to cut. Heck, maybe they'll surprise us and give us a half point. Oh, boy. Every time the Fed has started cutting in a serious way, that marked the end of the bull market. In fact, 2001, they started cutting in January. It was a handful of months off the high, not much price drop. They started cutting constantly. Market imploded. 2007, they printed the top tick almost. Mid-September 7, they peaked like 3 weeks later in October, and that was it. Okay. So anybody cheering Fed rate cuts, it hasn't done their homework. It's not what you want because it says something. Anyway, but that's fuel for the monetary metals. They're going to pedal to the floor. So anyway, all these pieces fit together. And that last one I mentioned, the T-bond thing, the T-bonds, something's wrong there. We all know fundamentally, Jamie Dimon said, you just can't keep doing this every decade type process. Where the government debt to GDP and all this, it can't just keep it pushed off. And he said, this time probably going to be different. Well, I think it will be. And in fact, watch the T-bonds because they've been comatose for about 3 years now. And right now at 115 and a half, they're sort of in the lower quadrant of the price level of the last 3 years. So in other words, very anemic, yields very high. Fed rate cuts don't affect them. Watch out that beast because he drops another 3 points or so below where you're trading right now. These the March contract T-bond futures. You could get a rapid flush, meaning a sharp spike. That's going to panic people because nobody expected it. And also it eliminates that quote alternative. Now you're down to one. So what I'm arguing here, wet bar of soap time. There's only one thing to grab. Okay. And I think it's beginning, and I think these spreads know it. And that's what they do.
You brought up the T-bonds a couple of times, and to all my viewers and listeners, and to you, Michael, we had a saying when I was a very active trader trading a fund and running a lot of money is the pros watch the bonds, if you would. So really keep an eye on the bonds. Bonds are what really almost everything almost just follows bonds, if you would. I mean, you'll have breakouts and that's, but where the big money is, they look at the bonds, bond yields specifically. So.
Yeah, well, the head of the president of the New York Fed, Williams, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, made a statement or a press conference, and I'm sure it was approved from higher ups in the Fed, that the Federal Reserve is going to probably need to start buying T-bonds, he said, or buying bonds, quote
Think about
unquote.
that.
And but not because they're in trouble. He didn't say that, of course, naturally. He said because of illiquidity. Oh, isn't that nice? I'm so glad they're taking care. They're nervous. They're nervous as heck about government debt market. And we're not dealing with mortgages now, mom and pop mortgages. Okay. We're dealing with Japanese government bond implosion. Our government bonds in trouble. UK. Yeah, this is too big. And when that event hits and they finally realize, central banks and the investment public, that, uh-oh, it's different this time. Something's really bad here. That market's bigger than the US stock market, because T-bonds. So you can't ignore it. Watch it. Very important.
To all my viewers and listeners here, I'm looking at two different computer screens at the camera here. Then to my left, that's why you see me looking at the left is a large computer, the large screen. That's why I'm looking over there. But let's talk about the commodities market in
Oh,
general,
good.
and then
Good.
specifically crude, natural gas, and even uranium here. And again, to all my viewers and listeners, this is a great service. I am a client of Michael's, but it's a fantastic service. And Michael will talk about that at the end. But yeah, commodities are ripping here. And you show some charts. Talk about that.
Yeah, top chart goes back to 2007. It's the Bloomberg Commodity Index, which is a well-balanced index of commodities, energy related, base metal mining, sugar, cocoa, not sugar, cotton, grains, a very broad metric of commodity complex. In 2008, it peaked at 237. Top left chart, that's a price chart, okay?
Right here.
Collapsed down to 100 and rebounded in 2011 when gold peaked and reached up to 170 something. Yeah. But look where it dropped to since. That last red circle is in 2020. That's when gold had doubled between its low in 2015 and 2020. It
This
had
is a
gone
great
from,
chart. Go
yeah,
ahead.
but Bloomberg went down. Okay, so it wasn't correlated to the gold. Then we had the explosive upside. The MSA called at a price of about 70. We said you could probably go up to about 140, and that's where you peaked. Why? There's a channel top we projected there. Sure enough, that channel top worked. Look where we are now. Now, this is as of early this week. We're already higher than that. We're pushing toward that line, that red channel top. What is that channel? We take the three lowest monthly price closes going back to 2009, I guess it was, or 2000. Yeah, 2008. And line them up, and there's a nice perfect line through three low closes. It's the same angle of descent. We plot through the high monthly close that occurred in 2011 and project it down. And sure enough, that rally was up into thin air, but that line, when we projected it, said, hey, that's a good place to reflex at. But it's a theoretical channel top. It reflexed. Happy. That means that channel is valid. You close a month out anywhere near 120. Right now, Bloomberg is 112 as we speak. You're going to break through that price channel that goes back, 2008. Okay. Now here's the annual momentum below. This is
Oh, yeah.
measuring the monthly action versus his 3-year average. You had the burst, the breakout that occurred before the price surge. You went off the page to the upside. In other words, it says, hey, I'm out of here. Damn it. I shouldn't have been here. Okay. And even then, it got to 140 in price, which is still like 100 points short of the 2008 high. Okay. After that peak in March of 2022, weeks after the war began in Ukraine with Russia, commodities peaked 3 weeks after that war started, and the momentum dropped back down. And for the last couple of years, it's lived just below the zero line, little red horizontal on that bottom chart, or below the 3-year average. Yeah. We broke out of that of October in October at just above 106. Now we're up
Yep.
112. Okay.
Right
That
there.
is a statement by momentum that, hey, I'm out of this base. I'm through with my correction. I'm headed for my next wave up. And we only, and I think there's a multi-wave process here over a span of years. Commodities are vastly underpriced as an asset compared to anything, compared to their own highs, compared to the S&P. This is a place secondary to monetary metals, but this is a place for investors to look hard at stock-related positions in the commodity asset arena, energy-related, base metals, grain-related, fertilizer, all those. Throw darts at them. There I look poised to be a place to be on the upside while the stock market in general goes down.
Yeah, I'm so glad you pointed that out and you showed the provided the visual with charts, because I was talking to another very well-known analyst that everybody knows, but I won't mention his name. And he said specifically energy, crude and natural gas stocks, if you would, smaller cap stocks, that's what the mining stocks were a couple of years ago. That's what we're at right now.
Yeah,
And it
okay.
really fits your thesis. Go ahead.
Yeah, flip the page to your one I think we want to look at is crude oil. Yeah. Okay, now this is quarterly momentum, meaning the monthly bars on the top price chart. Or monthly bars and overlaid is the three-quarter moving average. Okay. The chart below oscillates price versus that average, creates a momentum chart. Okay, now on the price chart, you can see that once we get up to 130 back in 2022, again, when that war commenced, oil peaked, said, heck, this is not good for us. Okay. So war wasn't good for commodities, peace was. Will be. I mean, I think you're going to find that out. Anyway, the market dropped down to around 70 on oil pretty quickly and has oscillated either side of 70 for several years. Now recently we've been under 60. Right now, as we talk, we're back above 60. So it's really been Deadsville.
Yeah, it's just been sideways.
In other words, he says, yeah, you try to take me down, I just don't want to go down.
Right?
Just gonna lay here in the mud, but I'm not going down. Okay. And I think a lot of people in the oil industry who are not hedged as they normally would be protect for downside because they don't think there's really risk here. In fact, they think this is cheap and it's a matter of what's going to take us up. Look at the momentum chart. Again, you look at those circled months or monthly closes that were peak closes and rallies on the momentum. It's a 5-point trend line. You're going to cross that easily this month, probably. But the key to us, no, we're pushing at it right now, in fact, the zero line. The horizontal I've got there, you've not been able to close above that three-quarter average for a couple of years now. So you close above that. Now, this quarter, that's 67.60. Okay, there's only a couple of weeks left, though, remember. When we get into January, that number lowers to about 63.30 something, okay, estimated. You close a month out next quarter, credibly out over 63, you're breaking out of this beast. And momentum says, I'm awake. I'm coming up. Now, when you look at the price chart, if you put a little dot there where 63 is, for example, it doesn't mean much. In other words, if you go to 63 next month, because you got to take that price chart above 80 to turn heads. Okay. Momentum says you get above that 63 on a monthly close next month. Wake up. Oil's coming out of here. It's a laggard right now. It's one of the most anemic components of the Bloomberg Commodity Index. Many components are quite firm. Oil is weak. I think oil is going to ambush people in the sudden. When it wakes up, it's going to wake up. And I don't think it's going to need a headline. I think it's just an issue of I'm too low for too long. commodity asset prices are vastly undervalued. I'm even undervalued versus my own price. Look at the chart. Okay. When he wakes up, it's going to make noise and it's going to occur fairly rapidly. So I think your guys are right that you interviewed that you look at the energy stocks because they've been holding pretty well. You know, sort of like saying, well, we're waiting on you, oil. We're waiting. I think they're going to get their opening call pretty soon.
You brought up so many great points there. And again, this is not investment advice, but we're looking for the next undervalued assets, if you would. And we see that as an oil and natural gas specifically, because they haven't moved like everything else. And this is also interesting when, as you pointed out, just pointed out in the charts, especially especially with oil, it's like you hear all this doom and gloom, and I'm partial to that in many ways, but you hear all this doom and gloom, oil needs to go to 40, oil needs to go to 50, and it just
Yeah, well, Trump said he's going
continues.
to keep it down, right? You know,
Right,
yes, he
yeah,
made a promise that. Yeah,
whatever.
well, wait till this breaks out because then those gasoline prices, probably coincident, I might say, it's an emotional factor. If you take gasoline suddenly up a buck a gallon, that's very emotional, okay, to the average guy because he's seeing it click, click, click as he's pumping, you know. That's a bundle of eggs. That's, you know, et cetera. It's hamburger meat. Okay, get at the point. If the stock market turns down too around the same time, you've got two emotional gut kicks that will hit the average guy to tell him, hey, the reality I thought was real ain't real. It get my cost of living's going up. And my portfolio, the only thing I got to smile about suddenly is lost 30%. You know, uh-oh. And then what happens? Emotion.
Could you
Emotion.
also see a lot of money flowing? And I know the answer to this, but I want you to answer it. A lot of money flowing from the big traders, the big boys, flowing into the energy sector, or is it starting to go
Probably. Yeah,
elsewhere?
I don't keep track of that kind of stuff, but yeah, I would bet heavily. Now, it may take getting past that $80 level, which is the last two spike highs you see on the price chart, but before they wake up. Before they wake up and say, oh, it broke out. Okay. But I'm telling you, next quarter, weeks away, you close a month out, credibly out over 63.32, our estimated breakout number. It'll change a bit by the end of this quarter. I'll have to adjust it. But it's saying, okay, I'm just beginning.
Well done.
Momentum usually leads. Go ahead.
Let's end with this. Let's actually end with natural gas. And again, to all my viewers and listeners, this is in Michael's just really his most recent, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, report here. So
No, this is,
you guys are getting the scoop here, if to all of you that are that want access to Michael. I've been a huge bull for natural gas. Well, it's really since the start of the third quarter, I want to say. And it hasn't disappointed me, if you would. I started buying some natural gas, small natural gas equities, and they've done really well. But tell me your thoughts on natural gas, and are you still bullish despite
It's bullish. I'm not super excited. Pardon me. You know, I don't know where it's going to go. It's a very volatile market, as you can see. Its swings tend to be of shorter duration and more drama than many other commodities.
It's very cyclical too. Go ahead.
And but what it did recently, getting under $2. I mean, look at the price chart.
That was
Okay,
stupid.
top chart, the top chart. There's price.
Oh, I'm
You get
sorry.
under, you get under $2, and look what happens. Okay, hey, it's a bottom. And where are you going to go? Go to zero? I mean, you know. Okay, so under two, it shot up there to above four. You know, earlier this year on a monthly close, and pull back down under three again, and then shot back up and took out that high recently. Okay, this is as of earlier this week. We're still about where that price is there, 488, I think. Anyway, but look where momentum is. It came up under from low levels, broke out over the zero line, and ran up to a pivotal level that we defined at about $2 over the 36-month average. And if you go back to the left, you'll see a couple other highs there around $2 over. And then notice when you got well above that back, you know, several years ago, got up to the $10 level on price, momentum got up over 6 points over the zero line. And it came back down. It tried to hold on to where the red line starts on the that. No, on the chart below. So yeah, right there. That's it. That low, that first low is back to about two. Like I'm going to try to hold the old highs. Okay. And it bounced. But when it failed, it flushed. Okay. Well, we're there now. Both of these charts argue that if you can get credibly out above five, which is not much because we're, you know, we're in the high fours,
Right, right
that
there.
that's a hurdle. words, that's another green light. That's saying, hey, I've woken up and now I've also broken through a pivotal level on both charts.
Yeah.
So if I were long natural gas and it got credibly over five on a monthly close, I think I'd say, oh boy,
It's gonna go.
game's beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
I suspect it's going to happen because it's part of the Bloomberg and it tends to move with the Bloomberg's ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Excellent, Michael. I mean, this is to all my viewers and listeners, you got a great treat today. Just the analysis of just of what's happening and what we project will happen. Michael, I want to thank you so much for coming on. If people want to do business with you, if they want your reports as I get them, how do they do
OliverMSA.com. Visit
that?
the site. We have a major weekend report, usually about 10 to 15 pages. And then intra week, we have about usually about three or four reports focused on this or that market that we're watching. And we look at all the major categories, not just stocks and commodities.
Excellent. I will put all of this in the show notes as I always do. And what we'll also do for you is put it on the video. So if people want, as they're watching us, they can click on it and go directly to your site and decide for themselves. Michael, thank you so much for your time. You've become a really good friend of mine. I appreciate your analysis, and it's different than just about anybody that I know. It really is. It is
Thanks,
different.
Andy. Thank
Yeah.
you.
All right. Take care.